Good morning, church. What an opportunity, a privilege to gather this morning to read from the scriptures. We are not taking this for granted. Other parts of the world, there are many who do not have this privilege this morning. We are reading two passages. The first is Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to 9, and then the second will be John. Immediately after I read the second passage, John 15, 1 to 4. So it's displayed on the screen, and I would read, so you could just follow along as I read. And you could also turn the pages of the Bible as well. First, Luke 13, 1 to 9. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down." The second passage is John 15. The first four verses. "I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." May the Lord bless his words in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Allow me to pray before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. Word that is true from the beginning. And Lord, today as we heard this word being read to us, and as we spend some time meditating on it, and may our spirit who inspired these words may be at work in and through us, but bringing fruit in our lives that honors you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 5 years ago, we in our backyard, we planted a Tahitian lime tree. It's about 5 years ago. It flowered once. It never bore fruit. Instead, it became a haven for stink bugs. If you know what stink bugs are, they are stinky. And the more you disturb them, they squirt this stinky thing out at you. So you have to be very careful. So a couple of weeks ago, just before we got sick, I decided to do this. I just went full on. Thought I'll just cut it, give a full prune, and this probably will be the last chance for this tree to bear fruit. Happy for any gardening gurus out there to give us some tips, you know, how to get this baby fruiting next year. If not, it's going to go out. Now, today in the reading that we had this morning, Jesus tells us a similar parable of a fruitless fig tree. Fruitless fig tree. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But before we get to this parable, let's have a look at the context. Why did Jesus tell this parable, this story? Jesus had been speaking to crowds of Jewish people, religious leaders as well as ordinary people who found Jesus' teaching to be so amazing and they were impressed by his teaching. And as he was talking, the meeting, this big meeting, was interrupted by the news of two tragic events. Two tragic events. You can read that in verses 1 to 5. A group of innocent people had been butchered in the temple by Pilate, the Roman governor. And then, I don't know when the second thing happened, during that time or a bit earlier or later, the Tower of Siloam had fallen on a group of Jerusalemites who were just minding their own business. And 18 of them had died. Now, when these type of things happen, people come up with all sorts of theories and explanations, don't they? And one of those explanations people often give is people suffer these unimaginable things because they had done something wrong or bad and have angered God. You heard that? And said that, perhaps? I have. Not proud of it. But if you remember the book of Job in the Old Testament, this is what Job's four friends concluded when they saw Job unimaginably suffering. And in John chapter 9, when the disciples saw a man born blind, the first question they asked Jesus was, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents?" But do you notice what Jesus does here in this story? Instead of giving a four-part sermon series on why bad things happen to innocent people or the connection between suffering and sin, in verses 2 and 4, he challenges, doesn't he? He challenges the popular explanation or the belief by saying, "They are no more guilty or sinful than any of us." Because the big bad news of the Bible is all of us are equally guilty and sinful before God. None is better than any other. And this did not happen because they were more guilty or more sinful than the rest of us. But why? Why did this happen? Now, we would love to know this, don't we? But Jesus doesn't. He doesn't go on to explain this because I think there is something more important that he wants us to know. So he continues in verses 3 and 5. Sorry. "Unless you repent, you too will perish." He turns the focus away from the tragedy to you and to me. Forget about, don't worry about those people. Worry about yourself. Think about yourself. The word used here for perish is also the same word that is used in John chapter 3 verse 16. And he says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that we may not perish, but have eternal life if we believe in him. What John and Jesus is talking about here is not the natural physical death that will happen to all of us one day, they're talking about the eternal death, the consequence of rejecting God and living our own way. See, death is a tragedy. But eternal separation from God, eternal death, is a great disaster. Now, I don't know if you picked it up as you were reading this passage. These people who tragically died didn't have any warning, did they? It just suddenly happened. No time to prepare, no time to say goodbye, no time to put their businesses or houses in order. But do you see what Jesus is doing here? In the midst of this tragedy, he's warning people of a greater disaster. And he tells them how to avoid this disaster. The only way to avoid this disaster, Jesus says, is to repent. Now, repent is another word for turning around or turning back. And you see, friends, repentance is not an emotional thing or a mental exercise that you do. To repent is not just to recognize that I've done something wrong and regretting about it or apologizing for something wrong. To repent is to change direction. Make a U-turn. Turn your back to sin and turn back to God. Turn your back to sin and turn to God. It is a complete turnaround, isn't it? Stop living the sinful life, the godless life. Stop living as if God doesn't exist. Turn to God. Start trusting in Him. Start treating Him as the center of your life. Start living your life God's way. So in verses 1 to 5, Jesus is warning all of us of a great disaster. And he is saying, avoid it at all costs. How to do that? Turn to God. Turn to God. And he's to explain this a bit more, and he tells a parable in verses 6 to 9. The fruitless fig tree. Verses 6 to 9, if you can read that in your Bibles, this man had planted a fig tree in a vineyard. Now that itself is special, isn't it? For 3 consecutive years, he comes looking for fruit. And he's disappointed each year. And then this last time he comes and again he finds no fruit. So he orders the gardener, cut it down. But then the gardener, he intervenes and says, give it one more year. Give it one more year. I will dig it. I will manure it. I will do everything possible. If it brings fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. Now, the obvious focus of this parable is fruit. Fruit. And the connection between verses 1 to 5 and this parable is, if you have turned to God, if you have repented, then there must be fruit to show that change. And the very first thing that we learn from this parable is Jesus is after fruit, not leaves. Like the huge fig tree with lots of leaves, looking full, vibrant, and impressive. The original audience who were listening to Jesus, they were impressive, weren't they? They had everything. The Torah, the sacrifices, the patriarchs, the impressive temple, the prophets, the covenants. On paper, It said they belong to God. Every paper that they could produce said they belong to God. But their life didn't show that. They had everything but fruit. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 3, just a few chapters before this. Luke chapter 3. Here is John the Baptist as he prepares the way for Jesus. He tells people who's coming to be baptized from all over the region, and he tells them, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And people asked, if you read the next few verses, verse 10 to 14, people asked, so what should we do? What does that look like to produce fruit? He tells normal people, he says, anyone who has two shirts, share one with one who don't have. Do the same with food. He told the tax collectors not to collect more tax than they should. He told the soldiers not to extort money, not to accuse people falsely, and to be content with their pay. Have you turned to God? Don't just get dunked in the water. Show it in your life. Because Jesus is not after impressive leaves, right? He's not after our baptism certificates, not after our pedigrees. He's not after our impressive preaching and teaching and singing and music abilities and leadership skills and the books that we have authored. Because all these can easily become pretty impressive leaves, can't they? Which hides our real nature, fruitlessness, godlessness. See, friends, Jesus is after fruit, not leaves. Have you turned to God? Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus? Show it in your life. The way you live, the way you talk, the way you spend your money, your time. The friends you have, the investments you make, leave your sinful way of living. Start living God's way. Produce fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. In other words, what is he saying? Let your life match your confession. Let your walk match your talk. The second point Jesus makes is we can't produce fruit without Jesus. The year that the gardener borrows for this fig tree, he's going to do a lot of work, a lot of hard work. Some of it is going to be painful for the tree. He's going to dig around it. He's going to fertilize it, prune it. This is what God does with us. He doesn't want us, his people, to be lost and perish. So he gives time, one more year, one more season. And he goes to work. He's doing everything, giving the tree every opportunity to produce fruit. And I think this is something that we need to be aware of this year. That God is at work in us, around us, and through us. Why? Because he wants to see fruit, not just pretty leaves. And it's not up to us alone, isn't it? And that's what we hear in this section. And as we read from John chapter 15, we cannot bear fruit on our own. We must be connected to the vine. And when we are connected, in John chapter 15, Jesus says that he will cut the branches that are not bearing fruit. And if you are bearing fruit, he will prune it so that even more fruit will come through those branches. So how might God be at work? He may give you opportunities to get to know him more this year. Through joining a Bible study if you're not part of one. Through a devotional book. Meeting one-on-one with a mature Christian and finding someone for you to be accountable to. He may be at work giving you opportunities to practice your faith. Maybe a difficult season that might come this year to test your faith, to stretch your faith, to purify your faith. He might even expose your sins this year. Some of you have gone year after year after year unchecked with secret sins, ungodly habits, testing God's patience. God may put a stop by exposing them and causing you to repent. He may purify you, giving you another opportunity, another season to bear fruit. He may be at work giving you opportunities to serve. Use the gifts that he has given in the service of his local church. He may answer a prayer that you've been praying for a while to show that he is faithful. Or perhaps he may not answer a prayer to show that he is sufficient. Perhaps like my Tahitian lime tree, God may have done a hard prune on you. There's absolutely nothing. It's cut you down fully. But there are signs of new growth. There are signs of new life. God's been at work. One thing for sure, he will be at work in and around us and through us to bring fruit. And finally, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, this parable teaches us that time is running out. There is a time the tree will need to be cut down when it's too late to repent. This could be the last season that you and I have. By this time next year, or in 2 years, or in 3 years, or in 20 years' time, whatever the season that God has given you, we will have to give an account of our lives. What have we done with what God has given? The time, the gifts, the skills, the Bible study groups, the church, the friends, Christian encouragement that he has been giving you. To show fruit, not leaves. And as the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Note those two words again, isn't it? Perish. Repentance. And he adds in the next verse, for the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Time is running out. And sadly, in the past few weeks, if you've been listening to news, many people, death came suddenly. I'm sure most of them didn't have time to even think about death. They may not have the opportunities to repent. But you and I do. We have the time. We've been warned. We've been told beforehand. So if you haven't, would you? Would you repent of your sins and turn back to God by trusting in Jesus? Don't delay. For those of us who have been Christians for a while, we call ourselves Christians. Turning to God, repentance is not just a once-a-life thing that we've done 20, 30 years ago. No, it's an everyday thing. It's an hourly thing for some of us. Be aware of the temptation to be all leaves, no fruit. Have you turned to God? Are you a believer? Do you trust in Jesus? Then walk in His ways. Leave the life of sin and disobedience. Be aware of God's work in and through and around us. And no matter how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, let me tell you this truth, this secret. Jesus is still after fruit in our life, of our faith, our devotion, our commitment to follow Him and be a witness of Him. So let me encourage all of us this morning as we speed through this year. What's today? Today is the 14 days have gone. Christmas is coming soon, isn't it? Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Show fruit in your lives. Because Jesus is after fruit, not leaves. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Lord, You don't miss any of us. Lord, You don't just glance over us. No, You are interested in each and every one of us. Your image bearers, Lord, You created us to do good works, to do Your will, to bear fruit. And Lord, we are thankful for Jesus, for sending Him so that You might redeem us to be Your people. Lord, we thank You for that opportunity that You have given us to bear fruit. Thank You for all the work that You are doing in around us and through us. Sometimes we are not aware of it, but You sure is at work, because we cannot bear fruit without being connected to You. So this morning I pray for each one of us and even myself that this season that You have given us, Lord, we will be careful, Lord, not to show just leaves, but Lord, to bear fruit. Fruit that honors You. Fruit that will show that You have been so gracious to us. And we ask this, Father, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.